Welcome to the We Are The Church podcast, hosted by me, Adam, and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Throughout the podcast, you'll hear and experience people's stories of faith in action to encourage, strengthen, and inspire you.
Hear the real-life stories of people from Guymere Baptist Church and our local community. There will be a few laughs, serious chats, and amazing encounters with God through the love and hope of Jesus Christ. We pray that this podcast reaches you on a deep level and encourages you on your own journey of discovery and faith.
Tonight, we've got myself and my beautiful wife, Brianna. Hello.
Hello, good evening.
And also, we've got Jerry. How's it going, Jerry?
Good evening, all. I'm going very well, thank you. Lovely night to be here.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Great to have you here.
It's a joy to be here and be able to talk with you.
Oh, thanks, man. That's good. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I suppose that what you'll want to know from me mainly is why I'm here in Australia.
Well, we did pick up on the accent.
Yeah, there's a bit of an accent there. Hello, Jerry.
Well, I graduated from university. I came from a small university town in America, in the state of Ohio, and I graduated from university in about 1974. My degree was in education, and it was not a coincidence, I don't think. I don't think anything in my life is a coincidence. I think there's a reason and a purpose, and I'll explain a little bit about that later on as we go, but there were recruit people here from Australia at my university, and they were looking for teachers. And so I booked in an interview period with them, sat down and talked with them, and the next thing you know, I'd been hired as a teacher for the New South Wales education system. So that brought me to Australia in 1974 as a primary school teacher. And I really got a teaching lesson of my own when I started, because I began in a school in the Green Valley. Now, if you're familiar with the Green Valley, it's close to Liverpool, and it's probably not the ritziest area that you would go into if you were going into Sydney.
Okay.
And I had no knowledge of any part of Sydney when I first came here. But anyway, that's where my teaching career began, in a little school called Cartwright. So I worked in Cartwright, and then from there, I spent about a year and a half in Cartwright. Then from there, I moved on to another school in the St. George area called Carlton South. And that's where I spent most of my teaching career, at Carlton South. And I worked as a sportsmaster and, of course, a classroom teacher, but I was more involved in the sports of the school and in the district than I actually was in the classroom. And it was a really fantastic job. I just really enjoyed it. And I worked with groups of kids from grade 2 to grade 6.
Amazing.
Oh, cool.
And what kind of sports activities were you doing with them?
Well, the main thing I did with the kids, and this is what my principal wanted to work with me on, was to develop ball skills with the kids. So we had a program that I'd written up with teaching kids how to throw the ball.
Uh-huh. Not dodgeball, though. Not dodgeball.
Well, not really, no. This was just the basic skills, not trying to wipe each other out.
Oh, well, fair enough. Of course, of course. And the then, little kids.
In watching the kids, they just didn't have that skill technique, how to kick, how to even hit the ball with a bat.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that moved on from dancing. We did dancing in the winter months when it was a bit cold outside. Mm. We were lucky enough to have trampolines there. And the trampolines I used during the winter months inside, and the kids just loved it. Mm. You know, their turn on the trampoline, they loved it.
Is that the big trampoline?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Definitely.
Like gymnastic
full bodies.
Ones?
Yeah, the full bodies.
How good's that?
Yeah, and I used to enjoy watching the little ones, particularly around the age of or the grade 2 kids, because they were very agile. They could move so well.
Mm. Yeah.
And they could pick up things much quicker than the older kids that were a little bit conscious or cautious with what they did on the trampoline.
Yeah, a little bit more risk-averse.
That's right. That's it, yeah. I don't want to hurt myself. I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Little
I'm going to do some flips.
Like, yeah, flip? Yeah, I'll give that a go.
I'll do a piranha as well.
And they did, and I just was amazed at how some of them were just, they were made to be on the trampoline.
Yeah,
and, of course, that took me into sports carnivals, ball-playing teams where I was coaching mainly softball because that was one of my specialties, and I tried my hand at running rugby league, but I didn't understand rugby league. It wasn't like gridiron.
Yeah, so, very, very different.
Yes. Yeah. So those were the kinds of activities. So I was outside a lot with the kids, and plus the kids enjoyed being in those classes. It's not like they're sitting in classrooms and head down and pencil going. They enjoyed coming, and I just thoroughly enjoyed that part of the profession that I had. That stopped later on because the numbers in the school started to dwindle, and then we were starting to lose teachers. So I lost that position and had to go back in the classroom. Mm-hmm. And okay. So I did, but it wasn't an easy time for me, I'll have to admit. Once I'd been out of the classroom and been working with kids like that, I didn't really want to go back in.
Yeah.
So I transferred schools first, went to Bangor. That was where I finished up my career in teaching in about 1989.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm.
Fantastic. So teaching background brought you to Australia.
Yes, it did.
And then what happened from there?
And the teaching background didn't stop.
Uh-huh.
Because I walked into Qantas and accepted a job at Qantas as a cargo agent.
Okay.
Now, I had no knowledge of freight, cargo, anything to do with airplanes.
Yep.
But it was a challenge that became very interesting. I learned the game. I learned how to deal with freight, and there was about five different aspects of where my job took me at Qantas. So there was an import side, an export side. There was a freight breakdown, and there was a load assembly area where we prepared freight for the aircraft. Mm-hmm. And then there was an acceptance where we would bring freight over from the aircraft and then check it into the terminal and get it ready for delivery. So I learned all those particular divisions of the freight industry. Mm-hmm. And as I said just a few moments ago, teaching didn't stop.
Mm-hmm. You were teaching them.
Jerry's got a career in teaching. Jerry's probably going to be able to help other individuals learn this job.
Yeah.
Of course.
And so they did move me around a fair bit in the freight terminal as an instructor.
Fantastic.
Oh, great.
And then that moved me along the lines of supervisor in some of these various areas. And then when we restructured at Qantas, they turned supervisors into coordinators. You've probably heard that term. And it used to be pretty popular at one stage. They got away from supervisors and then turned supervisors into coordinators. And then from that, the computer systems in Qantas continued to be upgraded.
Mm.
And from that point on, I was directed to learn these systems inside and out as best I could.
Right. Yep.
And that took me into the next phase of my job at Qantas as a training officer.
What a great role.
As a training officer, you were in charge of the terminal, teaching those individuals the various aspects of the new programs that came. So that took me into another very interesting phase of my career at Qantas. So that's how I finished up at Qantas as a training officer, and that was about 25 years of service with Qantas.
Oh, fantastic. I mean, that time they would have flown by, getting to do so many different things and helping onboard and train up staff, new platforms, new processes, new systems. Yeah, that's fantastic. Mm.
And that was a challenge that I had no idea about freight systems and this and that, but I knew my time had come in the classroom. I just hit a brick wall.
Mm.
I wasn't going to continue on. I was encouraged to get promoted into the education side of things, but that didn't interest me.
Yeah.
I was more interested in staying with kids and programs than running the school and the teachers.
Mm.
And I thought, no, I'm going to have a look around. And Qantas just happened to be hiring freight agents, and I got the job.
Quarter of a century is a fair whack of time to be at a place too, like that you would have learned a lot there and taught a lot of people over the time, and I'm sure you got to share of Jesus with a few people that time as well.
We did discuss
on breaks
that.
Probably.
Yes, we did discuss because that my Christianity came into it and people knew I was a Christian.
Mm.
And there was one instance there that came up where I was working in an office with three men, and this was called the tarmac office.
Mm-hmm.
And life in the tarmac office is pretty rough. You know, it's pretty full on, and the language out there can get a bit healthy.
Bit rough and ready.
Yes. And things aren't going right or things didn't go where they were supposed to go.
Yeah.
And I can remember one stage where one of the guys, he was looking at me and he basically said to me, Jerry, you never swear. Why is it that you never swear? Everybody in this terminal has their moments, but I never hear you swear. What is it that makes you different from the rest of the people, the way you talk?
Mm.
And I said, look, I have a relationship with God, and I know a lot more language from the dictionary than just a basic few swear words, and I'm prepared to use them and leave the swearing part out of it. So that was a part that identified what I was about, you know, what I stood for.
Yeah. And it's not like you, you know, were going around telling you, I'm Christian or anything like that. People could just see there was something different in your character.
Yeah.
Something a bit different compared to the others that was noticeable. Yeah.
And I don't believe that that would have been a good idea to go around and, you know, and profess my Christianity and look at people and say, I'm Christian, you know, I don't appreciate that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But as time's gone on in the careers that I've been involved with, and particularly in the one now, I get alongside individuals who I work with, and I just request that certain comments or expressions or words not be used when I'm around. And I don't do it as a group, and I don't do it, you know, with a number of people. I just get next to individuals and say, look, you know, I really have a strong belief in God and his son Jesus, and I'd prefer if you didn't use God's name or Jesus' name in a vain sort of way. And it's sticking.
Yeah.
It's not perfect yet, but it's sticking.
Interesting.
And in our driving experience as well, there's certain things that we come across that, you know, there's comments made, particularly about more attractive girls walking along. And I've got them to the point where I'd say, yeah, that's just one of God's beautiful creations.
Yeah.
And that takes the sting out of the conversation right there.
Yeah, because they realize what they're saying. Yeah.
And they start to say the same thing. Hey, Jerry, look, there's another one of God's beautiful creations. And I think, these guys are...
They're cottoning on.
They're paying attention to, this
it's
type of thing.
It's subtle, but it works. Like those kind of comments, they come across and people think about their actions then, don't they? They go, oh, maybe that's not quite accurate what I'm doing. Yeah. Interesting.
So those are some of the influences that I've been able to project to the, the working community that I've been dealing with. There are situations that I've come into in life, and there's dozens of situations that I can share with you. I know we don't have time to do them all tonight, but there are situations that have come across in life, in working life, that as Jerry, I wouldn't have touched. I wouldn't have thought about doing it. But as God working through me, he's given me a vision and said, recognize these things because you are different and you can make a difference.
Yeah.
This was a working situation. I'll just share with this one. I was moving cars to the airport one morning and there was a gentleman that got out. He just jumped out of a car that he'd been renting. And as soon as they usually come in, they're moved off and taken to another location to get ready for more rentals. And I was watching him. I noticed all of a sudden the car's driving off. And he's starting to pat his pockets, and then he puts his hands on his head. He'd left his phone in the car.
Oh, no.
And the car was gone.
Oh, no. Yep.
So I was in one of the cars, and I was going to head in the same direction. I pulled up alongside of him. I said, how long have we got? He said, when's your next flight, and where is it? Where are you going? He said, oh, look, I got a half hour. I said, okay, you wait right here for me. I know where that car is going. I'll get your phone, and I'll bring it back here. You wait for me here. Sure enough, over I went. There's the car being pulled in, and the guy that's driving the cars, he's coming out of the car with the phone in his hand. I pulled up beside him and said, I know who owns it. Let me have it. And back over I went. Pulled up beside the guy. Here's your phone. Here's your phone.
Oh, wow.
Now, here's the kick. He's wanting to pay me for this.
All right.
I don't want money from you.
No.
I don't want money from you. It's not about money. He threw a $20 bill in the car. In the window where I was sitting. And I looked at him and said, Jesus loves you, and Jesus is using me, right, as a helper for you today. I'm showing Jesus's love for you through me.
Mm. Mm.
Now, whether that sinks in or not, I don't know, but I have opportunities where I can come across and say that quite often.
Yeah.
Mm.
And in some cases, people stop and think.
Mm.
And in other cases, you don't know. But I'm not there to change lives. I'm just there as a messenger.
Yeah.
And I let God do the rest of the work God wants done.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's just one example in the work situation.
Wow.
That's just amazing. And I mean, work environments are such a great place to be witness, you know, and often you don't even need to say a thing. Sometimes it's just the character that's coming through and, you know, the presence of Jesus with you in those moments. And, you know, people can see that and experience that, which is just a wonderful thing and a wonderful opportunity.
The fellows I'm working with, I have another fellow that's with me now at Avis. I've bought him a Bible. I've given him some inspirational readings that he's starting to come back to me now and tell me about these readings that he's going through in the morning.
Wow.
So I discuss with him what I've read at home, and then I ask him about, well, what was special about that reading? What did you read today?
Oh, that's so good.
What is there? Mm. So these are things that are coming back my way from encouraging fellows to have conversations and talk to me about, you know, the Christian life and what makes me different.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Amazing. What is something that people might not know about you?
I didn't really know God very well.
What?
Oh, what?
A bit earlier in life. People might think, nah, he's probably been a Christian all his life, and then that's not true.
Wow.
That is definitely not true.
There you go.
As a little fella growing up, my mother was very Christian oriented. She took me to church, tried to train me in Christian life, but it didn't make any sense to me. It just didn't stick. And I didn't stick with it either. In my teen years, look, I had my wild times. In my college years, same thing. God wasn't a part of my lifestyle there. Had no real time for God, not really interested in Christian type things. It wasn't for me.
Mm.
I didn't understand it, I suppose, was the main thing. It was just too thick tongue for me.
Yep.
And the worldly ways were my ways.
Mm. Yeah.
And I had a good time with my worldly ways. but the thing that brought me to my knees, and I call it on the road to Damascus, is Jerry sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, remember the story about Paul and Saul on his way to Damascus and where he's all of a sudden confronted with Jesus. Well, my road to Damascus experience basically was one Sunday morning. I lived in a one-bedroom flat in Cronulla on the beachfront.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd woken up from a hangover. And this was a painful headache.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking out the window, and I'm thinking, this is not on. This is not really what I'd prefer to be.
Mm. Mm.
So the voice of Jesus didn't come out in a loud, booming voice and say, well, Jerry, it's time to make a change, do you think?
And he wasn't shining bright in front of you or anything like that?
There was nothing shining bright on that morning. So from that point on, Jesus was speaking to me, to the soul of me, the inside part of me, and saying, look, there is a better life. Mm-hmm. There is a better way to run your life. So let's take a look. Let's have a look and see. So I really believe the prayers my mom was sending from America were hitting home.
Mm.
Wow.
That's really what I believe, because it had to be my mom's prayers that, you know, that turned me around. Because certainly wasn't mine.
Yeah.
It just wasn't me. That wasn't the Jerry that any of you would know and wouldn't recognize, because I was a bit of a cut-up. I had my moments, and the experiences I've had in life, God had to be with me.
Yeah.
God had to be with me to bring me through some of the things that I've come through, because I couldn't have made it on my own. And I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you in some of the cases of what's, you know, come across.
So
that's the little secret. Jerry's never, ever been a total Christian all of his life, I suppose. That's the secret that's out there for revealing. But the big change in my life definitely has occurred because I just turned it around thanks to Jesus you know, coming up alongside of me on the road to my Damascus.
Yes.
That's how I look at that.
Yeah, that's good. That's a good story. That's a good way to look at it, that it was a turning point. Mm. Yeah.
And it definitely was. Mm. And shortly after that, I met the girl of my dreams.
Oh.
Yeah, she was really a beautiful girl. Mm. And we met on the beach in Cronulla. That was around 1978. Mm-hmm. 76.
Mm-hmm.
And from that point on, we married in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
She worked as a flight hostess with the airline company here. I think it was Ansett then, and then moved on to Qantas.
Yeah.
And I was a teacher at that stage. And, of course, I've explained that I moved on into the air industry. Had nothing to do with her.
Sure.
He says that. But
just say lovely coincidence.
Yeah. That's it just right. happened to work its way that way. So
yeah.
We've been married for 40 plus years.
Oh,
so,
nice.
So you know, we've been a twosome all that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And look, she's Welsh. She's not American. So the little Welsh girl they used to call me Mr. America.
Mr. America, love it.
So believe me, we've had some interesting experiences in life together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah.
It hasn't all been, you know, rosy and cream, but I don't think any marriage is.
Mm. No, that's life. There's valleys, there's mountaintops and everything in between.
Well, we've got a few decades to go, but we're at 14 this year coming up. And we've definitely had ups and downs, but we know it's definitely a journey.
Yeah, it's always coming together on things.
That's right.
Finding your middle ground sometimes because you could be coming from two very opposite ends. And it's good to have your own differences and difference of opinions and some things you'll always agree on and that's okay.
That's it.
You might be asking the question of, did we ever have children? And we didn't have children in life. She was busy with the airline game.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably have dealt with 5,000 children from other families. And believe me, at 3:30 in the afternoon, I'd had enough.
Yep.
So I didn't want to go home and have to deal with kids on my own if Yvonne was away on a flight. So
sure.
I didn't have children. I miss that now because I enjoy being around kids. I enjoy working with kids. I've just recently was in a program through the church here.
Okay.
Where we were dealing with kids in primary school. So
cool.
I worked with a young fellow for about four years.
Oh, nice.
As he was working his way through primary school.
Oh, isn't that cool?
And we had a good relationship in that time. He's in high school now.
Yeah.
Don't see much of him, but occasionally we'll cross paths, say hello, how you going, and have a bit of a chat for a few moments before we move on our own ways. But that's the part of life probably I miss out on. Yeah, I think children that you have that are your own children are very special.
Mm.
But as I said, look, I work with 5,000 or so different young kids in my life. So by the end of the day, I was glad to see them go home.
Yeah. And just think how many kids' lives you were able to give into, you know, and be part of.
Yeah.
Really special.
Yeah, that is special.
And I have kids that have grown up in careers. And occasionally one will come across me and say, "You haven't changed a bit." They see me and they said, "You haven't changed a bit." And I said, "Really? Did I look this old when I was working? Did I look this old when I was working with you?" I said, "No, Mr. Lee." And they still call me as Mr.
Lee.
It's your mustache and your hair.
Yeah.
So
I saw a picture of you in the 70s before the other day you showed me. I was like,
and that's
an afro, mate.
Rocking the
fro. That was right out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Yeah, that was great.
If you see me now, well, the hair is growing at the moment because I've been auditioned for a part in a film which is coming up, the part's coming up shortly, and they want the hair. They want the mustache and they want the sideburns because
beautiful.
It's got the 70 look.
Uh-huh.
So if you see me looking a bit scraggly and a lot of hair on my head, that's the reason.
he's auditioning or he's got a part for a role.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Fantastic. Awesome. I'd like to loop back around because you mentioned that you sort of were like a mentor or a buddy to kids in primary school. Could you tell us a little bit more about that particular program? Like what was it for? And who was it with?
Look, the program is basically aligned with here, the church.
Through Guymere Baptist Church?
That's correct.
Yeah.
The name of the program slips me, but It's still up and running here at the church. And there's two schools that I'm aware of that run the program for people to work as mentors. Mm-hmm. And one of them is Grace Point, the primary school in Grace Point, and the other one is over at Karela.
Ah, okay.
And that's where I worked with this individual, Karela.
Okay.
They basically just want you to go in and get alongside the children. It's only an hour a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they just want you to get in alongside the person you're dealing with and just be a little supportive of those individuals.
Mm.
Just get alongside of them, work with them, maybe do a little bit of their school work with them, which didn't happen with mine and me because he was sports-minded like I was.
Ah,
we ended up outside in the playground, kicking a football or playing some sort of sporting activity.
Yeah.
So I brought him along in that respect.
Mm.
Taught him how to shoot baskets in basketball, and he played for the school's basketball team for a while.
Cool.
Gave him a little T-ball set that I had from my days of teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I don't think that went very far, but we ended up basically working a lot with, he liked playing rugby, the rugby league game.
Mm-hmm. So we ended up playing
a little bit of
rugby came back around.
Yep.
We ended up playing a little bit of rugby league together. So,
yeah.
Oh, great.
And I worked with him in a lot of times with just kicking goals.
Amazing.
Yeah, cool.
So that was an area where my expertise sort of clicked in. So we had that in common.
Yeah.
Mm.
And that lasted, like I said, for about, I think it was about 4 years. From his grade 2 years till they moved after his grade 5 years. So he was in a different school after that. So we moved on. And the experiences with that, I can remember one really heartfelt moment with him at the early stage when he was in grade 2. We were having a farewell Christmas lunch at the end of that year. And I remember him just coming up to me and he just gave me a great big hug around my waist.
Aww.
As if to say, I really appreciate you being my mentor, my friend, somebody I can relate to.
Oh, that's cool.
And I thought this will be a very good relationship. This will be an important relationship for probably the both of us as time goes on.
Because that's the thing, it's two-way, right? So you're there for them, but you also gain so much from them and being that constant and building that, space of trust and consistency as well, I think, too, with the kids, knowing that every week for that hour that person's going to be there to do whatever it is that they want or need at that particular moment.
Mm.
And that sort of gave me that little bit of, that little father-son relationship, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The one that I didn't have of my own.
Yeah.
I sort of linked in with that and really appreciated that time with this individual because it gave me that give-and-take relationship with him for that period of time when I was with him.
Yeah, that's special.
That is special.
And it's those kind of moments, sometimes thinking, because we actually haven't had children, we really appreciate those moments where we do get those special times with the kids in our lives, and we feel like we can give a little bit more because we don't have our own kids. Some people have shared with us, how can you give so much and how can you be so available and spend that time just sitting and listening or just being with the kids around, and it's because we've got that space, I think.
Yeah.
And we've got, we've got that little bit of that room to be able to give and pour out to the kids around us.
Mm.
And it sounds like you've had lots of beautiful opportunities like that too.
The opportunities still keep coming, believe it or not.
Mm. Oh, wow.
There's another opportunity that just come across me just a few days ago.
Wow.
And this wasn't a little kid. This was a young man.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay to...
Yeah, go for it.
Go for it.
I was in Cronulla just walking back from – I just had a sit-down coffee with a couple of my friends there. And I was on my way back down through Cronulla Mall, and out of nowhere, the fellow that came up to me would have been, maybe 20, and he just walked across in front of me and stopped and said, "Do you have a moment of time to talk with me?"
Oh, wow.
And I looked at him and think, what's this going to be about, And I thought – yeah, sure I do. Yeah. What's on your mind? He said, "I just need someone to sit down and talk with me for a few moments."
Oh.
And I couldn't help but think that, oh, here's a great opportunity. Here we go. This is one of those dozens of opportunities that's come along. So, you know, don't mess this up. Mm. We went over and sit down on the bench. And so I just started a conversation with him, talking about him.
Mm.
You know, where do you live? What do you do? What's bothering you? What is it that's bothering you? What's your problem?
Yeah.
He just had that feeling of inimportance and wasn't going anywhere with his life.
Mm.
Yeah.
And I was amazed. I'm thinking, out of all the people walking around Cronulla, he's just come up and he's identified me as someone that he could put his bit of trust in to sit down and chat with him for a few moments.
Oh,
so
amazing.
We talked about his life, not mine.
Mm.
We talked about him, his life, what he wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
and we took it from there. I told him my age, which he couldn't believe, and I said, well, the experiences I've had in life has brought me to the point where here comes God. Here comes my opportunity.
Yeah.
My life has been changed because God's come into my life. And God basically has been with me all the time. Mm. He's brought me through so many life's experiences. And I wasn't really aware of some of this, didn't give it a thought.
Mm-hmm.
But it was God back there behind me, walking with me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my golden opportunity just to interject a little bit of talk about God and about his son Jesus.
Mm.
So I did. I won't go into too much detail because I didn't sort of force or push the issue. I just said, if you really want to find out, you know, where your life's going and what you want to do with your life, have a talk with God.
Mm.
Mm.
He's available to pray to at any time. Have a talk with God and see what you get from that.
Mm. Wow.
And then shortly after that, we just went on our separate ways.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking away, I'm simply thinking this, God, you brought somebody else along out of nowhere.
Yeah.
You've given me another opportunity to share with somebody else the great and glorious life that is available to all of us with you.
Yeah.
So that's not the Jerry I know that would have sort of taken the time to sit down with this individual.
Mm.
This is the Jerry that God has made me into be.
Mm.
Yeah, right.
And that's just another example. There's a few others that we might be able to talk about, but that's just another example of how God is using me, right, as one of his ambassadors while I'm still here on the earth.
Yeah. Oh, that's amazing. That was so good. What an encouraging story. Mm. So just going to change gears right now. Is there a particular book, movie, or series that has influenced you in your faith journey?
I wouldn't say I'm not a great reader.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I really enjoy puzzles.
Yeah.
I enjoy crosswords.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy sort of word puzzles, things that challenge me to figure them out. That's what I really enjoy doing.
Yeah.
The biggest influence on my life has been Billy Graham.
Okay.
And the Billy Graham Crusades that I've listened to on tape, some of the things I read about Billy Graham. And he's an oldie but a goodie, but he has been an extreme influence on my life in sort of how I vision the Bible, the messages I've got from his sermons on the Bible and various parts of the Bible.
Mm.
So I couldn't relate to you any particular book that's really captured my interest.
Okay.
I have read a few of Left Behind series. That's been a few years back.
Oh, yeah, Tim LaHaye and...
Yes.
Yeah.
But I couldn't tell you what those are about now. I've watched the film that was made about it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But that had a bit of an influence on me, too, in my early Christian life because I didn't want to be left behind.
Yeah, about end times prophecy and
that's
stuff.
That's it. I didn't want to be left behind. I'm thinking, this is what's to come. I don't want to be left in this.
Mm.
So that was probably another major influence in my life.
Okay.
That sort of stirred me on to thinking about being a Christian and getting serious about it.
Yeah, cool.
Amazing. So earlier you did mention, you know, it's not like you were a Christian right from a young child. You know, you came to know God a little bit later in life and you touched that you were in a bit of a dark place and you'd seen that. So if we just come back to that space, you know, where what did that early walk with God look like, and how did you notice things start to change?
The early walk with God wasn't mind-blowing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There wasn't a significant difference in who I was at that point.
Yep.
It didn't take hold right away.
Mm. Okay, it was a slow burn.
But it, yeah, well, I look at my life as a work in progress.
Mm.
And for me, it's a slow work in progress in many ways.
Yeah.
So it wasn't a mind-blowing sort of completely topsy-turvy, turned inside out type of experience that I could relate to you. It just wasn't.
Sure.
I didn't think that I was any much more different from beforehand, except that the hangovers were gone.
Yep.
Yeah, mm. That was it. That was where that lifestyle changed.
Okay.
I didn't need to do that anymore. I've never been involved in drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a drug taker, never have been, apart from prescription. But that's not been a part of my life. Sure. I've always been very sports-minded and athletic, so to speak. I've always been in that sort of area. As I explained earlier, that's what I really enjoyed teaching.
Mm-hmm.
We had a sermon a few weeks back about what capital letter, you know, was the major influence on your life. I don't know whether you remember that or not.
Mm.
But the one capital letter that was big in my life was the letter E.
Okay.
You know what it stands for?
Exercise?
You got it.
Oh, wow.
Exercise was it.
What a guess.
That was it. That was the it for Jerry.
Yep.
Nothing else really captured my sort of inner or my imagination. That was it. But there were points in time in my life where exercise, I couldn't do anymore because of injuries, certain injuries that my fault had come across, and I couldn't do it anymore. And I'm thinking, God's starting to take these things away that I enjoy so much.
Mm.
And I thought, no, I don't want to lose this. Let's compromise. Let's compromise. Let's give me a little bit of this back. Just let me do a little bit of this. So, it didn't work all that well for me in that respect.
Mm.
But just to push on, the capital letter in my life now is J. And it's not for Jerry. It's definitely for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the influence in my life now at this point in time.
Yeah.
That's really how I look at the important part of my life. And that's where I'm destined every day. That's me. And that's the capital letter that's taken over my life. I'm not perfect. You'll look at me and think, Jerry, and some of my work colleagues say the same things. Gee, Jerry, that's not very Christian-like. But that doesn't worry me, because what they're saying to me is, you are sort of special. You are a Christian individual, and we're not expecting that sort of behavior from you, even though it's not that severe or that bad.
Mm.
It may be something that's said or the way we're driving or something that takes place, but they are looking at me now in that perspective, and I think that's good.
Yeah, it's great that they can see it and call you out on it, right?
I think that's good, yeah.
That is good, yeah.
And I sometimes come back to him and say, well, you know, you really wouldn't know what a Christian is because you're not one. So it's a challenge now.
Yeah,
it's a challenge. Right. Okay, if you think you know what a Christian is, have a look at it.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Have a look at it.
Yeah, suss it out.
Yeah, see what you think of it.
Yeah, that's it.
Maybe you can be better than me. So I look at it from two ways.
Yeah,
I sort of come back at them from the angle, well, if that's not the Christian way, then you help me out. What? And then I've got them, because when they start talking in that frame of mind, I'm thinking, well, why don't you have a belief?
Mm.
Where is it? Why don't you have a belief? Why can't you believe? What's holding you back?
It gets people to those deeper questions, like the deeper thoughts in their mind. Like they're just thinking about the day to day, and then you're going, well, hang on, what about God? What about your belief? What about faith? And they go, oh, and it stop, and they stop, and they think, and they're like, actually, maybe I should take a look at my life and what I'm doing, and have a rejig of it, or they might just look at it and go, oh, well, that's what it means to me. Not much. Okay, I'll move on. But if it still gets them thinking about it. And God's working on them, and that's the important thing, right?
That's the ignition, isn't it? Mm. It's up to God to take it from there.
Yeah, God
that's
will. Right. God
nothing
will do
to do
it.
With Jerry.
No.
Yeah, he's
God
just,
does the rest.
That's it. That's up to God from that point on.
So do you currently serve either here at GBC or in the local community? And if yes, would you be able to tell us more about what you do?
Serving in Gaimia Baptist Church?
Yeah, or in the community?
Well, there's probably, it's twofold.
Okay.
Because the community part of where I serve is associated with the Baptist church here.
Okay.
But yeah, there are some duties that I carry out here at the church. Just recently, I've taken over the corporate prayer. So I'm slotted in the corporate prayer on various weeks.
And what does corporate prayer mean?
Well, corporate prayer, yeah, good question, because I thought, well, what am I supposed to be doing as a corporate prayer person? You know, am I supposed to pray for the corporation? Or what is it?
Are we a corporation?
Yeah, this is not a corporation, this is a church. So really the corporate prayer basically is being in front of the congregation and praying with the church as a whole.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You are the representative from the church presenting your prayer to God. So there's a lot of things that you need to consider before you pray, but I don't find that difficult.
Sure.
I don't find bowing my head praying to God difficult at all. Mm. It's become easier the more you do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's right.
It just becomes so very fluent, so natural, so just move right along. And the more you do it, the more you participate in that type of thing, praying to God, the easier it becomes.
Mm.
And He thinks of the things for you, you know. He helps you along with what He would like for you to say.
Yeah.
That's what I've found in this corporate prayer
activity
or time that I spend. Mm. I help serve with the communions, which we have at church. I'm a greeting person that meets at the door when people come in on Sunday morning or maybe as they're leaving on the way out.
Oh, that's lovely. So that's welcoming people as they're arriving to church and then saying bye on the way out.
Just standing at the end of the doorway on the way out saying, I'm not going to let them get away without saying so long, have a good week, you know, enjoy your day. And wasn't it a great sermon? Didn't you? And sort of striking a bit of a conversation for just a few moments before they're on their way.
Yeah, I always appreciate that hello and goodbye on the way in.
Yeah,
and on the way
so
out.
Do I. It's really, it's a nice touch, isn't it?
It really
makes
is,
you feel like you're valued and
you've seen. You're
and
here,
you're being
you're
seen.
Part of it.
Yeah, that's right. It's really good.
And I think that's what people enjoy too. Well, they just don't slip out the door and no one takes any notice of them.
Yeah.
Or they're not coming in and there's no really warm greeting for these individuals as they come in. Now, along with that, those are sort of the things I serve at the church with. Hope Field, which people would be aware of, which is the organization that looks after the less fortunate in our community.
That's sort of our community outreach.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Now, it's either 3-4 years ago, my life group, this is my life group of men.
Sure.
I wasn't really involved with this life group that much beforehand, but I became part of the life group. And after a little while, I started leading the life group. And we were asked to participate in this program with men that were coming into the Hope-Filled organization that were a little bit down on their luck.
Mm-hmm.
And we were asked to sort of just have activities with them, maybe once a month.
Okay.
Where we'd get together with these men, maybe share with a meal, share on an outing, just go with them somewhere and just have a day out with them.
Mm. Yep.
So that caught on.
Oh, wow.
Now that was 3 years ago.
Okay.
Maybe four now.
Yeah.
And it's still going now. And the men that are coming along from Hopefield have been bringing others into that fold as well.
How good's that?
So the activities, I do a special one time every year where I cook that chili up.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And that's been a pretty big hit. They enjoy that chili luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
And we usually have one of those each year. We've taken them on fishing trips.
Okay.
We've taken them on ferry boat rides to Bundina.
Yeah.
And a variety of other things, mainly barbecues in various park areas. Because that's really what they seem to enjoy the most, just getting together, you know, and having a chat and socializing with each other.
Mm.
Because in many cases, that's probably all they have.
Yeah.
Apart from community.
That's all they
that's
have.
That's right.
There isn't a lot more in their lives than they really have.
Mm.
Or for our knowledge, that's probably that one time when they can get together and share. So mm. it's become quite successful.
Okay, that's great.
So that's another
yeah, sure.
part of my sharing within the community.
Okay.
So, Jerry, who would you say has been most significant in supporting you in your Christian walk?
At the beginning of the Christian walk, I met a gentleman in – I was a member of the Church of Christ in Caringbah at the beginning of my walk. And I met a gentleman there who got alongside of me and we connected. We had a lot in common. We did a lot of sort of – we played squash together. We sort of really – got to know each other well. He became my best man at my wedding.
Oh, wow.
And I still see him occasionally. He lives in Cronulla, and I still see him occasionally, and we'll sit down and have a coffee and just have a chat about things. He was a significant individual in bringing me along, right, in okay. that Christian faith. Because as I said from the beginning, I didn't see anything, you know, the bells didn't go off and the whistles were blowing and stars were shining at the beginning of my Christian life.
Mm. Yeah.
But he was the one there always to encourage me. He even encouraged me at periods of time when the marriage wasn't going so well.
Okay.
And at the beginning of marriages, at the early stages, there's an adjustment period.
Yeah.
And you've got to understand that. Yeah, and yeah, he was definitely. Always there for me to have a chat and talk with me.
Oh, that's great.
To help bring me through those adjustment periods in the relationship. So he's still around, and he was a significant influence on me at that point in time. So I still see him. And he was, in my opinion, a very Christian-like individual.
Oh, great.
The minister at my church, at the Church of Christ there, mm-hmm. he too was a big influence on me as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he was even pushing that I have a closer look at being a minister.
Oh, wow.
In the ministry itself.
Okay.
And
I can see that.
he obviously could.
Yeah, coming from a teaching background, I can see where that would fit in. Mm. Yeah.
And he encouraged me along that lines, but Jerry was a bit hesitant in that. Maybe not so much now, but back in that time frame, I didn't see myself as that great of an influence. And I think, or maybe just committed to the degree that I would need to be. So I didn't see that as being me, but he certainly was an influential person in my life. I used to go and play golf with him.
Okay.
And that's how close we got.
Oh, cool.
Nobody else would play golf with him because he didn't think he was any good. But, and I was worse. So
so he looked all right.
So he looked good compared to me.
That's the way.
So those are two individuals that were really an important part of my life. But the outstanding person in my life has been my mother.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Definitely my mother.
Oh, great.
From my early age right on through. And
because you said that she prayed for you, you know, leading into you becoming a Christian in your, was it your 20s or your teens or?
She brought me along to the Christian functions in the church in my early childhood years.
Right. Yeah. So, I mean, like when you moved to Australia, you said she was, you think her prayers were the ones that got you across the line.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. I know they were.
What a woman of God, right?
Yeah, I know they were. Yeah, and she was. She was extremely strong in her faith.
Lovely.
So that would have been the most influential person.
Yeah.
And I made sure I got back to see her before she passed away.
Sure.
And I made sure that she was aware of the fact that, you know, God has a hold of me now.
Yeah.
So I'm on the right path. Yeah. I got a lot of work to do, but I'm on the right path.
Don't we all?
Yeah, we all, for sure. We do.
Not one of us is perfect, and we're all on a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was interesting you mentioned around getting into the ministry, because a lot of what you've shared tonight, you know, if you reflect on it, it's all been ministry work in some way. You know, so while people think, you know, oh, do I have to be a minister to do God's work? Or do I have to be the pastor? Or do I have to be the preacher? Or, you know, do I have to have that title to do God's work? You know, a lot of what you shared tonight, if you reflect back on it, you're always doing God's work, which is really encouraging. So thinking about that, what's your take on discipleship and how do you live that out in your life?
I look back over my life in terms of God's been walking with me constantly. Even when I wasn't aware of it, God's been there behind me constantly. Mm-hmm. He's brought me through difficulties, right? He's brought me through challenges. He's brought me through risks, mm-hmm. right? He's brought me through rewards. Mm-hmm. He's just brought me through that. And that's what I'm seeing in my life now. I'm looking back over that period of time in life, and I'm seeing God was right there alongside of me all the time. I just didn't realize it at points in time. I didn't recognize it.
No.
Didn't think that much about it. This is not Jerry's success or Jerry's failure. This is God's working with Jerry to bring him along in the type of person that God would hope him to be. And my failures weren't necessarily failures. They were just learning curves.
Yeah.
You can't be successful all the time. And when you don't, or when you're not successful and you fail occasionally, it's there to teach you a lesson, I think. It's there to bring you along and to make you into a better person than you could have been. So that's how I identify. Now, as you just pointed out to me, those things have been brought to me without me being aware of it sometimes. And here's another one for you. I might have shared this with you before. I can't remember. Here's another one for you. Just came out of the blue. I'm on my bicycle one morning heading out through Brighton. And I can see this girl coming towards me from the opposite direction. But she's pushing her bike. She's not riding it. I get up close to her, and she calls out and says, "Do you know if there's a petrol station close by? My bike has a flat tire, and I need to get to work, and I've only got like 10 minutes before I get there. So I need to get my bike to a place where I can put some air in the tire." I said, "No, really, I'm not sure. There's not a petrol station along here. It's way up ahead." And I said, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I can't help you." So what's Jerry do? Off he pedals. And you know, God stopped me in my tracks.
You got convicted.
God stopped me in my tracks. He said, "Turn this bike around and go back up there. And when you get there, get off your bike and give it to her."
Yeah.
Wow.
"And let her get to work." He didn't say that. "Let her get to work."
That was you added that. That yeah.
But that's what she was saying.
You mean you want to make sure she gets to work, Lord? But that's what hit me.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I just thought to myself, why didn't you see that earlier? And I didn't see it because God had to do the prompting, you know, to wake me up. And he did. She got on my bike, and I said, "This is what you do. You ride your bike, you get to work. Tell me where you're working. I'll take your bike, I'll push it back up to where you are, and I'll pick my bike up from there." And that's what we did. She got to work, met her up there, parked her bike where mine was, said, "There's your bike, and I'll fix it later. Thank you very much because I made it to work." God loves you. Yeah. And today God's looking after you. That was my message to her.
Today
he's looking after you, and he's using me in that sort of framework to help you along.
Isn't that kind?
And she said, "Look, I believe in God. I have that faith in God as well."
Oh, wow.
And I thought.
She was probably praying for a miracle or something like that.
Well,
God came through.
Yeah. God came through.
God said, "Here comes Jerry."
Shake Jerry a bit, but he shook Jerry, and Jerry's like, "Okay, God."
God's like, "Today, Jerry, you're the miracle. Turn around and go back."
I can't help but think of that situation. In times when things come my way again, is this God prompting me now?
Yeah.
Is this God sort of stopping me in my tracks and saying, "You can help there. You can be of service there. You can show your kindness there, your concern, you know. You can show those things right here, right now." Because we're living in heaven right now. Right now. And we have the experience or the knowledge to be able to share that heaven with those around us. I pray for four things in the morning, pretty much every morning. I pray for wisdom, right? I pray for knowledge. I pray for courage, and I pray for strength, right? God's wisdom, because I want to know to make the right choices. And if I pray for wisdom, God has a way of showing those choices to us. I pray for knowledge. Not only do I want the wisdom, but I want to know how to use it.
Yeah.
How to identify it and how to make it work. So that's what I'm praying for in that respect. I pray for courage, right? Sometimes we need a lot of courage because doubts creep into our minds about who we are, what we're about, and what we're doing. Mm. So that courage that comes from God is a courage basically that gives me that ability to cast my doubts away and put my worries to the side and believe that God is in charge. Mm. I see God in charge all around me now in what's taking place around us in the world, in the community, you know, and what's really unfolding before us. Mm. And I ask for strength to carry out these things that he puts before me. Give me the strength to do this, right? Mm. I can't do this, some of these things on my own, but with your strength there, it'll come about. We'll make it happen somehow. Mm. All things work together for good.
Yeah, that's right.
If we love God,
I do.
And we're called according to his purposes. That was a verse that was drilled into me by my best man. The man who had an influence on me, the man you were asking me about earlier.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that stayed with me all along the times.
Oh, isn't that
now
great?
Let me share this with you. The essence of my life, the essence, what's so special, right? And I'm wrapped up in these feelings right here. And these feelings are the fruit of the Spirit working within me. This is the essence of life. This is what, to me, life is all about. It's hope. It's love. It's not hate. Right? Mm. It's joy.
Yeah.
It's not sorrow. Mm. I mean, we have our moments there, but it's joy. Mm-hmm. And I've said this many times that there's a joy in my heart that I can't explain to anyone, but I know where it comes from.
Yeah, that's right.
And I'm thankful that I've got it.
Yeah.
There's a peace there as well. Mm. Not conflict. Peace. You know, create peace. Not conflict. Yeah. There's too much of that anyway. Right? Mm. There's patience. Not impatience. Mm. And gee, don't we face it? Don't we see so much impatience around us? Mm. But it's being patient with others as well as situations that come your way.
That's right.
That's important. Yeah. Goodness. Goodness, not wickedness. Mm. Being good. Mm. Not showing how wicked you can be, but be good.
As just good as possible.
Show that goodness. Yeah. There was a time in life when the wicked side was a lot more influential than the good side.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Kindness to people, not indifference. Mm, if you see something that you can help with, no matter how insignificant you see it to be, that kindness makes a big difference in people's lives. I was walking through the grocery store one afternoon, and I had one of those carry baskets, just picking up a few odds and bits and pieces. Mm-hmm. There was a woman coming at me from the other direction, and she didn't have one. And she'd picked up too many things. She'd picked up more than what she'd planned to pick up. Mm. As she got closer to me, they were all about to fall on the floor because she couldn't handle them. Mm. I reached out, put the basket underneath her and said, take my basket. You can have that. That's fine. You use it. Mm. And that just that moment, just that little moment. And she said, oh, thank you so very much.
Yeah.
Mm. And
that's
just
all it needed to be.
That's
just
it. I didn't
quick, quick, quick exchange.
That's That's it. That's all it needed to be. Mm. It was easy enough to go back and get another basket. And
of course.
There was a person in need at that. Just these little things that keep coming up all the time. Mm. All the time that come in front of you. Faithfulness. Getting close to the end of my fruits, but faithfulness rather than unfaithfulness. Mm. We see so many cases of where we need to be faithful and true to our word. Mm. And to me, that's very important. That's vital. That is vital. And gentleness, not brutality. Mm. There's a lot of brutality in front of us at the moment, isn't there?
Mm. Yeah, it sure is.
It sure is.
And the gentleness that we can provide for those around us means so very much. If it's just a gentle answer rather than something that's harsh that you respond to, just a gentle answer.
Don't resort to sarcasm all the time. Like, try and be kind with your response sometimes,
It sometimes makes a big difference.
It does.
It changes the attitude of people that are talking to you, and they're not so gentle.
Mm. Yeah.
They notice a difference. And you notice that has a tendency to calm things down, just a touch. Yeah. And self-control.
Mm.
Not out of control. That's the comparison of how my life is shaping up.
Mm.
To me, that's the essence of my life. That's important.
That's great.
So the fruits of the Spirit you've just shared, Jerry, they're very powerful, and they're a really foundational part of knowing God and walking with God. And, you know, I know a lot of those things I can only draw on that because of the relationship I have with Jesus and that restored relationship with God. Because before I was a Christian, you know, those things didn't come naturally. You know, the ways of the world and are very contrary to those things. And it's because I believe you know the love of God and you've seen him at work in your life that you can walk on that. And you know, that's so foundational for your Christian walk. Could you maybe share a little bit more about how that's maybe shaped you?
The fruits of the Spirit to me is something that I pray for every day. And I name them off one by one. And I see God providing these fruits for me through the day.
Oh, wow.
Right? I see them coming out of me. I see them in conversations with people that I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just see things coming out of me. I see acts of kindness coming out of me that I've never been that way before. No way. Mm-hmm. I'm my own person. You know, I'm more important than anything else around me. Mm-hmm. That was my attitude, and that was a terrible way, just a terrible way of thinking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's changed. Yeah. That's changed. I look at myself now in this respect. I look at myself as God's crafted this boat, right? My body. He's crafted this boat, and it's my body. Now, inside that boat is my soul and my spirit. And it's traveling around in this boat, my soul and my spirit there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, God didn't create this boat, you know, to sit on the edge of the water, in the shallow water, and just be moored there.
Mm-hmm.
God created this boat with this spirit and this soul to get out in the deep, to get out there in the deep of the water where the waves are rough, you know, and the life can be difficult. And the experiences can be testing, right? And that's how God has brought me along. I can see that now. I can see that in my life. Yeah. All the difficult times plus all the good times. I can see that.
Mm.
So here's the boat. It's out there. The soul and the spirit are in there. And they're out in the deep. And they're experiencing the life that God wants me to live. He wants me to get out there in the rough, in the deep. And what's he want me to do when I get there? Have faith. Have faith.
Yeah, and along that journey, have faith in what you're doing. Yeah.
Yeah, have faith and depend on me and my resources to get you through the goods and the bads. You know? And that's how I sort of look at what you've just asked me. That boat, the soul and the spirit in it, and it's made to get out into the rough, deep water.
Yeah.
And when the times get tough, have faith.
Yeah.
Have faith in your God and your Savior. Have faith in him because that's what he expects and that's what he wants to see.
It's kind of like being when Peter, you know, says to Jesus, take my hand in the rough, you know, in the rough seas. And that's like, that's what you're saying there. Like, God expects us to be able to go out into the rough water because he'll make it calm, or he'll, you know, maybe not totally make it calm, but he'll be with us in the storm. Or whatever.
Sometimes stormy, sometimes calm.
Yeah, whatever situation we're in, he'll be there with us along the way. It's like that that poem where they say, you know, God was walking and there was two sets of footprints. One was sometimes it was one set and one was two. And the person goes, why was there only one at sometimes? And God said, because I was carrying you.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know that's not a biblical thing, but it is a very image of God, you know. Yeah.
That thought crossed my mind too before I came in to sit down and have a chat with you tonight about those footsteps.
Yes.
So good you brought that one up. God promises us that you're not always going to have great times. But God promises us that I'll walk with you every day, all day. And I'll walk with you through those tough times.
Of course.
That's my promise to you. And I'll be with you. I'll be there to help you. I'll be there to encourage you. I'll be there to bring you through. There are times in my life when the career change, I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. But I can see how God held me together and brought me through, you know, those periods of time. I was as homesick as you could possibly be when I first came here.
Sure.
I remember I was standing outside of my flat, and I was watching the aircraft going back across the sky, heading, America, you going there? You going there? Oh, I wish I could be on that.
Can I come?
Oh, yeah, I wish I could be on this airplane. Oh, please. I was that homesick. But when I reflect on now, I held on to the, you know, the thought that God's working with me here.
Yeah.
I didn't know it at the time, but God's working with me here to hold on to me, you know, and to keep me going. And that determination that he put in this soul and this spirit, that's what kept me going. And it's still what keeps me going now. That's who I think I am. And I rely and depend on God's promises. And he's very faithful in what he provides for us if we just show our faith to him.
And what a lovely way to finish. Thanks so much, Jerry, for coming on. We really appreciate you.
Pleasure.
And look forward to seeing you around GBC. Thanks for listening to the We Are The Church podcast. We hope this inspired and encouraged you on your own journey of discovery and faith. If you or anyone you know has a faith story to share, please get in touch with us.
You can reach us at office@guymebaptist.org.au. Also, if you would like to know more about Jesus, pray with someone, or come along to Guymebe Baptist Church, please check out the Guymebe Baptist Church website at guymebaptist.org.au.
Until next time, I'm Adam.
And this is Brianna saying, God bless and peace be with you.